looking overdressed compared to Gaeta and Tavallera, in a neatly pressed short-sleeved shirt and dark blue slacks, mused aloud.
I wonder if the Titan probe touched down in one of the methane seas and just sank to the bottom.
That's a Navy man talking, Holly joked. Pancho said,
They know where it landed. It's on solid ground.
The dingus sent telemetry confirming its landing and checked out all of its internal systems. Then it shut itself down. Won't talk to Urbane's people. Not a peep all day.
Poor Urbane, Cardenas said. He must be going crazy.
Jean-Marie Urbane stared at her husband. She had never seen him like this. Ever since returning from the control center, he had paced about their apartment, his face dark as a thundercloud, his eyes sullen, accusing. He canceled the Christmas dinner that had been scheduled with Wexler and the other visiting notables. When she asked him what had gone wrong, all he did was snap at her. This was not the Edouard she knew, not the patient, gentle man who had spent his life watching others climb past him, not the man who was content to allow younger scientists to advance while he stayed in place, who timidly acceded to the directives and procedures of the university hierarchies. I have misjudged him all these years, Jean-Marie realized. He was not being timid. He just didn't care. As long as he was allowed to pursue his own research interests, none of the politics mattered to him one iota. Even when I nagged him to seek advancement, he shrugged it off as if it meant nothing to him. Jean-Marie had refused to go with him on this 5-year mission to Saturn. It was the final blow. He had no self-respect, she felt, and no appreciation for her feelings. He was being sent into oblivion, a second-rate scientist assigned to obscurity in the farthest reaches of the solar system. She was still young, desirable. Some called her vivacious. Even among the sharp-clawed faculty wives, she was considered attractive. Too bad Jean-Marie's burdened with that husband of hers, she had overheard more than once. She could do much better. But he had unexpectedly returned from Saturn full of fire and confidence. One of his scientists had made an important discovery, which made him an important person. He dined with the head of the International Consortium of Universities. He was invited to lecture at the Sorbonne. He stayed on Earth only long enough to accept a claim for the discovery of the ice creatures in Saturn's rings and to reveal his plans for exploring Titan with the robotic vehicle he had built, and to sweep Jean-Marie back into his life. She realized that she loved him, that she had put up with his failings and lack of drive all those years because she truly loved him. When he returned to the habitat orbiting Saturn, she was at his side. This mission to Saturn has changed him, she realized. Now he cares. He's tasted glory. Now he understands that one must have power in order to succeed. Now he wants to be admired, respected. And now this failure. His robot sat dead, inert, useless on the surface of Titan. It was enough to make a man weep. But Edouard did not weep. He seethed. He fumed like a volcano about to erupt. He paced their sitting room, radiating anger and frustration. All the passion he had kept bottled up inside him when he was among his scientists came boiling out now that he was alone with her. "Dolts," he muttered. "Idiots, all of them, from Wexler on down." "Edouard," Jean-Marie said as soothingly as she could, "perhaps it is only temporary. Perhaps tomorrow the probe will respond."
He glowered at her. "You should have heard them. The high and mighty geniuses, throwing off theories like little children tossing handfuls of leaves into the air."
She saw the fury in his face.
"It must be a programming error,"
he whined in falsetto, mimicking Wexler's penetrating nasality. Then, in a deeper voice,
"No, it has to be an antenna malfunction. No, there must be damage from the entry into the atmosphere. No, it must be..."
His face was so red, she feared a blood vessel would burst. Balling his hands into fists, he shook them above his head. Fools! Stupid, smug, self-important idiots! And all of them staring at me. I could see it in their eyes. Failure. That's what they think of me. I'm a failure. Only then did Edouard Urbain actually break into tears. Deep, racking sobs that tore at Jean-Marie's heart. She folded her arms about him and gently led him toward their bedroom, wondering to herself, what can I do to ease his pain? How can I help him? How?
At the bistro restaurant, Pancho had tipped her chair back to a precarious angle and lifted her soft-booted feet off the grass, balancing herself teeteringly on the chair's back legs.
You could get hurt if the chair goes over, Gaeta warned.
She grinned at him, slightly drunk from the wine and the cognac they had absorbed.
Wanna bet I can keep it on two legs longer than you can?
Gaeta shook his head.
No thanks.
You're a stuntman, ain't ya? Pancho teased.
You laugh at danger, right?
I do stunts for money, Pancho. I don't risk my spinal cord on an after-dinner dare.
Bet you 100. How's that?
Chris Cardenas grasped Gaeta's hand before he could reply. Manny has better things to do than play games with you, Pancho. Pancho let the chair drop forward.
Like play games with you, Chris?
Cardenas smiled sphinx-like. Turning to Holly and her guy, Pancho asked,
How about you, Raul? I'll give you odds. 5-1.
Holly got up from her chair. We've got to be going, Ponch. Thanks for the dinner.
Welcome,
Pancho slurred. Her sister smiled. This was the best Christmas I've had in a long time, Ponch. The best I can remember. For real. Slouching back in her chair, Pancho drank in the warmth of Holly's smile.
Me too, kid. Me too.
Wanamaker said,
It's time we got to bed, too, Pancho.
Oh, what you got in mind?
He laughed, but Pancho caught a hint of embarrassment in it. As they got up from the table, Holly asked, Are you going to watch them try to make contact with Titan Alpha tomorrow?
With a shake of her head, Pancho replied, I've been disinvited. Nobody allowed into the control center tomorrow except the working crew.
I'll bet Wexler will be there, said Cardenas. Urbain can't lock her out. Turning curious, Pancho asked,
I heard you were going to lace the probe with nanomachines.
We had talked about it, Urbain and I, Cardenas said as they started up the path that led back to the village's apartment buildings. But he sent the beast down to Titan before I could work up the nanos for him. Impatient.
Bet he wishes he had him on board now.
Maybe. Cardenas said guardedly. Frankly, Pancho, I'm just as glad they're not. He'd be blaming me for whatever glitch has shut down his beast.
Timoshenko's message. I know you can't send an answer back. They won't let you do that. It's okay. Well, no, it's not really okay, but I understand. I'm an exile, a non-person. It would be dangerous for you to reply to me or even admit you've received a message from me. Still, I wish there was some way for you to let me know you at least get my messages. I don't care even if you don't listen to them. It's just so damned lonely out here, not knowing if you even receive them. Big doings among the high and mighty scientists. The big lump of a probe they sent down to Titan's surface isn't talking to them. Just sitting there on the ice like the big pile of junk that it is. Makes me laugh. I worked for more than a year on that machine, on my own time even. Put a lot of sweat into it, and for what? Like everything else in my life, it's all been for nothing. Urbain is tearing his hair out, what's left of it. The other scientists are running around like chickens trying to figure out what went wrong. Me, I sit all alone here in the navigation center with nothing to do. That's where I am now, talking to you. Oh, I checked the instruments, but we're in orbit around Saturn now. We're just going around in circles. No more navigation. No more propulsion. The only problem we could possibly have is if some chunk of